in two different places, two different mindsets. Let's begin in the book of Mark. Mark, the fourth chapter. Mark, the fourth chapter, and we will begin at verse 21 with our reading. I hope that so many of you, your family, made it through the storms and all of that well. I know we have several people who have friends and others who did not. And this help that we're trying to do, not only tonight, we'll be in prayer for them. We'll have a special prayer all together at the service tonight at 5:30. But also, if we can help monetarily, which means literally the 18-wheeler that they're parking here in town, and like I said, as Kathy had mentioned, any of that type of stuff we can do, whether it's just something off that list that you can do for somebody and carry it up there and let them put them on that truck. It's not about who's got the truck and who's got the trailer and whose name and this. It's just about helping people. And that's what we were called to do. It's just our opportunity to help others, because I was in this building Wednesday, and I know we didn't have service Wednesday, but I was in this building Wednesday at about 4 o'clock when they were calling us all over the place saying, look, you got to get downstairs. You can't stay in that building. And tornadoes were touching down at Homewood and other places. And so we're just blessed, not more than anybody else. It just wasn't our turn. Nature is going to be nature. People always ask, why would a good God let something like this happen? And let me just go ahead and clear this for you. God has nothing to do with it. God has absolutely nothing to do with tornadoes and storms and different things like that. I know we like to say, well, why God didn't do that. God don't bring hurricanes. God doesn't. Listen to me. From the moment sin has entered into the world, this world is in a crash course of catastrophe. It's not the perfect world God created. Adam and Eve didn't have to deal with tornadoes. They didn't have to deal with hurricanes. But from the moment sin entered into the world, our world, the Bible says, Paul best described it in Romans. He said, it's a world groaning. It's a world that's in groaning, waiting for the day when God puts it back the way it's supposed to be. And that's just the world we live in. Right now, tsunamis are planning to happen. How? Because you know what? They realize that underneath the bottom of the ocean, that there's constantly shifting and there's constantly things. The world is constantly doing. And I'm not here to teach a science lesson today, but I just want you to be able to walk away and say, look, this is not about God, but here's the part that God involves Himself. He says, but I have created a people that even in the middle of catastrophe, they will be the first. And I loved it on the news today, and they hate to do it, but on the early show and others I was watching today, they said, man, I tell you, it's been such a response. I said, and they said, you know who the first people that have been responding to this? Churches. And I thought to myself, that's right. You go ahead and say it loud and proud, because it isn't the churches it's taking, it's the churches this morning that's giving and helping and is doing for their brothers and their sisters. And churches are being turned into places where storage places, and that's what we were created to do. This is our moment to shine, because when it goes bad, the world will shrink. But when it goes bad, Christians rise. And so this morning I just want to say that. Do help if you can in any way, and we will be praying tonight and a special prayer for that. This morning I want to deal with hearing. Look at the person beside you and say, can you hear good? Can you hear good? I grew up, that's one of the qualities of the lights. Now we're usually healthy as horses. We just die of meanness by the end. That's usually what takes us out. We're usually 80, 90 years old. We're just so mean. God says that's it. We don't die. Lisa's shaking her head. That's absolutely right. We don't die of a lot of things, but there's one quality that we have that is humorous about us, is that as time goes on, we all usually lose our hearing. And most all my uncles, my dad, everybody, they can't hear. My dad has been reading lips since he was basically in his 20s and 30s. You don't realize that, but if you walk up to my dad and say something to him while his back is turned, he's not being ugly to you. A lot of times you think he's hearing you, but what he's doing is he's reading your lips. If you're turned toward Him, He's learned it so well and got so good at it that you just don't even know He can't really hear. But now you get Him on a cell phone, and He'll talk about 2 minutes or 2 seconds or something. Then He'll say, Jane, here, talk to Him. Because He just hears noise. He just hears mumbling. And so hearing is an important thing. In fact, Jesus says about hearing something that He doesn't say about any other quality. He literally says, look, to Thomas, He says, Thomas, it's great that you can see my scars. It's great that you can do this. He said, but blessed are those who have never seen it, but yet believe it. That literally means that they have heard the gospel. They have heard the story. They have heard it, experienced it, and to them, that's sufficient. There's a blessing that comes when we're able to hear something and to receive something and settle something. In fact, faith is based on that hearing something and believing something that you cannot see. Everything about our gospel, everything about who we are, is based on our ability to hear. How we take hearing, how we use hearing, and how hearing affects us. Now, go with me, and I want to deal with this from two different areas. Because there's two different stories, one in Mark and one in Luke, that deal with hearing. But a lot of times they put them together, but there's a word difference. And the word difference also has a meaning difference. And there's also a story behind each situation that lines up with that word that's been changed. On one part, in Mark, we deal with the word what. In the Luke, we deal with the word how. And these two words are powerful and they're very important. Let me show you if I can. Go with me to Mark 4 and let's begin at verse 21. I'm going to read from the New King James. It's easier for me to say it here. Also He said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be on a lampstand? For there is nothing that is hidden which shall not be revealed. Nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If any man has ears to hear, let him do what? Let him hear. Then He said to them, take heed what you hear. This is important. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to what you who hear, listen now, and to you who hear, more will be what? Now, what we're always taught is, the more you give, the more you will... Now, that is true. It's an effect. But listen to me. It is only based off the fact of first what I hear. What I hear determines what I will give and the attitude by which I will give it. It determines everything about my life. We kind of skip that. We just go to, well, you need to give that you can get. No, no, it doesn't work that way. There's a lot of people that give and won't get anything. Because they don't give with the right spirit. They don't give with the right attitude. They don't give with the right motive. They don't give with the right anything. That's why I tell you all the time, look, if you need that worse than I do, you keep it. I don't want it. Because my life is not based off you giving and I'm getting. It's based off I hear something. And what I hear allows me to do what? It allows me to all of a sudden now receive. Listen to how He says this. Then He said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. In other words, the more I have heard, the more I have received, the more that will be given into my life. I know, look at the person beside you and say, that's new. So we don't usually hear it from this level. We hear it just from give and get, give and get. But there's a part there that we're missing, and Jesus preached this part instinctively all the time. In fact, it's an over and over and over occurrence. So I understand that I'm getting now because of what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is determined what I am getting. To him more will be given. But whoever does not have. Now how would I not have anything? I didn't what? I didn't hear it. I wouldn't listen to it.
To him who already has or feels that I have enough or I don't need any more, what happens to that individual? For him it shall be taken even that which he has. This is a powerful theory. It's a powerful philosophy that Jesus taught. It all is based off what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing on a constant, continual basis, what I'm allowing to be in my life is consistently making me who I am. Let me just break it down to this level in our normal way of seeing life. I grew up in a family to where there wasn't a whole lot of television other than sporting events. We'd watch football games together. We'd do the different things like that. But we didn't watch a whole lot, you might say, of television. But the basic part of our life was hearing and listening. We spent an awful lot of time, and I can tell you all about my uncles, I can tell you all about my family, I can tell you, because when we got together, we ate, and we sat, and we talked, and we told stories, and even when we were playing games, we were sharing stories, we were sharing things that we were. In fact, a big part of my family, even today, is us trying to get to this next generation. My aunts are putting out books and different things of this, of our whole history, our whole family, because the whole part is that what you hear becomes who you are. And I notice in my kids now that when they do something and they accomplish something, you know what they'll say? I'm a lot. Lots don't do that. See, when I grow up without an identity from hearing something, then I have to base that off something else in my life. That's why we have people with low morals and all the publicity in the world designing clothes for our kids. Because it's not about who they are or what they've accomplished or anything about their life. It's the fact that they are just a name, and they're a name that's put out there. And because of that, we want to look like this person or that person and dress like that person and be popular like this. When the problem is that I have no basis because I have not heard anything. It's not a problem as far as figuring out why there's so much killing and there's so much robbing and there's so much damage in the world now. That's simple. Just turn on your video game. Who's talking and who's listening? One of the first things I began to do when I was my kids began to play video games, I noticed the most, was that they set the music that plays continually while they're playing the game. And it's never gospel music. It's not even Neil Diamond music. It's the hardest. It is the loudest. It is the screamers. It is the ragers. It is the angry. It is the mad. And I don't care if you're playing Halo or whatever else it is, or 2 against 5, whatever next game it comes out. I don't know. Don't have no idea. It is that mindset. And what it is doing is, it is picking on something that a lot of times we don't see. They're hearing. They're hearing who they are. They're hearing their values. They're hearing what to believe. And then for a couple hours we drag them to church and we think, okay, we're going to teach this kid right and wrong. And they hear Pastor Lott, or they hear Pastor Shannon, or they hear somebody teach a class, or they hear. And that 2 hours compared to those 20 to 40 hours worth of hearing that they have from all the other things in their life is drowning out any good. And so what we grow up with is a confused society, confused kids, confused adults. And this is the life in which a lot of people live, all because of their hearing. Let me explain some things about this hearing that you need to grasp. When we talk about what I hear, I need to grasp it from this point. It must be truth. Look at the person beside you and say, I must be serious about whatever I'm hearing. It must be truth. Let me explain it to you this way. I don't watch American Idol. I don't watch any reality TV. Because even the people that put on that show will be the first ones to tell you it's not what? They're telling you it's not real, and yet you're dumb enough to turn it on and say, oh, I hope she wins. Or to turn on a soap opera of people that are actors who have messed up lives beyond the lives that you're watching. Oh, I wish my husband would treat me like that. Wish my wife dressed like that. And we begin in our lives, slowly but surely, to hear something that is not truth. See, because I grew up talking and listening to talking, I love talk radio. That's what I love. Now most people around me, they go, I can't stand that stuff. It's just too much noise. Too much. Yeah, it is. It's noise. It's I have to think. I have to relate. I have to reason. I have to sit there and I have to debate in my mind truth and not truth. And I have to hear a conversation and I have to determine whether it's real or not real. I don't care what the Kardashians are doing. I really could care less. I really could care less about. But when you talk about Libya or something, that's a real situation. That's really happening. How does that line up with what I know? How does that line up with my Bible? How does that line up with the truth that I have in my life? How does that line up with how I'm supposed to act and treat and do? How does that line up? All of a sudden now my brain is operating at a higher level. I don't laugh at stuff that's not funny. I all of a sudden am serious about things that are serious. The first step in your life is that you are going to have to deal with what is truth. Doesn't matter if I wear a red bandana or a blue one or a white one. That ain't got nothing to do with real life. It might get me shot, but it has nothing to do with whether my life is going to go forward or not. And there comes a point in your life where you've got to decide what is going to be truth. And it's so important, not only that, but it must be pure truth. It must be real truth. It cannot be a kind of a mediocre truth. Because men, when we begin to add our part to truth, makes it fallible. If I had to tell you, what is your standard of truth? What is your standard by which you determine truth? Well, for me, that's real simple. It's this book right here. That's it. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter my ideas or my opinions. Everything has to fall against this rock. Now you may say, well, my truth is what I learned in high school. Good luck with that. I hate to break it to you. They've probably changed every science book since then. So whatever you learned was wrong. They've already changed most of the stuff as far as history. They've rewrote it how they want it to say, so that was wrong. We're at an age to where you're going to have to first find what is going to be truth. And when I determine that what is going to be truth in my life, nothing but the truth. That's why in times past, they would even in court cases and things, I don't know if they still do all that, they would hold a Bible up and you would do what? Put your hand on that and you would swear by the what? By the Bible, you would say, I declare I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me. Because this was what you put your hand on, and it wasn't just the fact that you were saying, I'm putting it on a book. You were putting on the truth. I am going to align myself up with truth. I am going to determine that I will be truth like it is truth. That's what we used to do. We used to have to say that you line everything up by this. Well, Pastor, why is that so important? Why is that word, what I hear. Why is what I hear so important? Well, let's understand that. Verse 26, go with me. And let's see it this way. Verse 26 through 29. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the what? Into the ground. And should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring up and grow. He does what? He doesn't know how it happens. He doesn't understand how it happens. He doesn't realize how it happens. He can't explain to you how it happens. Verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is... In other translation, it'll say simply that first the seed will germinate, and then all of a sudden the sprout will come up. Then it will grow to a certain level, and then finally fruit will come forth from it. How does that happen? I don't know. It's not important how it happens. Here's the truth that I know. I know that if I plant a seed, it will do what? See, that's the level of truth by which I live by. It's not for me to understand all the truth. It's for me simply to know the truth and to rely on truth. Our problem is that we want to understand the Bible. We've got more books about the Bible. We've got more theories and theologies about the Bible. We've got more interpretations of the Bible. We've got more of this and that. And yet we become less Bible people than we've ever been in the world. We've become less and less and weaker. Why? Because none of that really matters any. It is of no consequence. If it says don't lie, then you don't lie. Why? I don't know. I don't understand all the consequences of lying. I don't know how much damage it can do. I don't know all the problems it can cause. I only know that to do it right and to do it by truth, it says do not. Because if I don't lie, I'm planting something that will grow. I'm planting something that is guaranteed to grow. I don't know how it grows. I don't know what makes it grow. I just know that when I tell the truth, it sets me free. I only know that it produces freedom in my life. It doesn't produce guilt. It doesn't produce shame. It doesn't produce hiding. It doesn't produce a backbiting or trying to keep my story straight. It sets me free. So the truth shall set me free. Therefore, I line myself up with truth. I'm not going to lie. There's things I'll look at you and say, I don't know. There's things I'll look at you and say, I do know. I know you can do that, and I know you can't do that. I know you can say that, but you can't say that. I know these things. Why? Because it's truth. It aligns with that book, and it's what I allow in my life, and it produces the fruit in my life.
Now here's our problem. The farmer, he sows. He sows what he knows. Jesus said, whatever, it cannot be hid, right? Now here's the truth you have to get in your mind. It cannot be hid. Whatever will be revealed. Everything. Nothing shall be hid. So that means this morning, if I'm planting a lie, will it grow? Will it produce? Now here's where the enemy tries to set us up. He will give us phrases like, it won't matter, nobody will find out, da-da-da-da-da. Look, it won't come back. Nothing bad's going to happen. Because the enemy, who is smarter than you, understands God has already set up a universal system. Listen, if you want to lie to everybody and say, look, I treat my wife good. But at home, you don't treat your wife good. Can I tell you something? That plant will grow. And sooner or later, when we hear about the split, or sooner or later when we hear about the affair, or sooner or later when we hear that she done gone home and lived with mama because she can't take you no more, now you're going to be all surprised, like, why are people telling my stuff? But you need to understand this. You were so ignorant, you didn't understand people were going to tell your stuff sooner or later. Nothing that is hid will not be revealed. I'm not a bad person, Brother Lot. Well, let's see. And see, what you say really counts very little. We're not bad. I'm not a bad person. Let's see. Tell me a little bit about your life. Tell me about your actions. Tell me about things you have done and haven't done. Should I go ask your wife or your husband about how good a person you really are? How many lies you tell? How much stuff you do? What's your weakness and all this type of stuff? Tell me how good a person you are. Because whatever... it will grow. And so in our lives today, when we learn to hear,
it's imperative that what we hear is good, and what we hear is positive, and what we hear that we're going to apply to our life is truth, and nothing but the truth. Because whatever you're going to plant is going to come up. Look at the person beside you and just tell them, say, "We'll find out about you." Yeah. That's simple. Just look at them and say, "We'll find out about you." Yeah, it's not complicated. That's why I have to fight so hard every day of my life to live by truth. Because whatever I live by, it's going to be revealed. Don't you think there are people that are looking to see how I live? There are people that are watching what I say. If I say anything wrong or anything negative or any cuss word came out of my mouth, could you imagine the catastrophe? How quick that would run over town, and how quick if I stopped by and got me a six pack and went home, and just even though I was just using it for medicinal purposes, even though I wasn't using it to get drunk, but I had it. Can you imagine the catastrophe? Everything I plant in my life has got to be truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Because it is what will grow in my life. Now, he doesn't end there. Go with me to the book of Luke. Now let's go to the 8th chapter and begin at verse 16. It sounds like the same story, same situation, but let's read it very closely. No one, when he has a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a what? A lampstand. Sets it out high because he realizes it's made to shine. My actions, my life, my truths are meant to, that's what they're built for. If I'm living for God, I don't want to be put under a bed. I don't want to be put in the back corner. God, put me out there where others can see me. Put me out there where others can watch me. The Apostle Paul would say it this way: follow me as I follow Christ. That's my goal. I want to be out there on the front. I don't want to be just simply, "Well, guys, don't look at me." Now, I don't put myself up as perfect. I don't put myself up as never making mistakes. I'm not going to look at you and say, "Guys, I just do everything I do." No, no. There are times when I blow it. There's times when I mess up. It's out in the light. You're going to see it. So what I have to do is I have to say, "Guys, I'm working daily on this perfect life. God is working in me to make me perfect. If I fall or if I stumble, understand I am still flesh and I'm living and trying to be what God wants. But I'm not hiding out. I'm not trying to hide and say, 'Don't look at me at all.' No, I want to be a role model. I want to be out front. I wasn't born to be put under a bed. I wasn't born to be stuck in four walls so I can live and do church services and nobody know about it. No, I want to be on the town in the middle. I want to be out there where others can see me. I want to be visible. I want others to watch how I talk and how I walk and how I act. That's what I was born to do." Oh, this stuff is good. "So that whosoever enters may see the light." Here's our phrase again. "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed." Nothing hid that will not be revealed. "Nor anything hid that will not be known and come to light." Guys, you got to get that in your mind. What you think you're hiding every day of your life, no matter how little it is, even though you say, "Well, Pastor, it's nothing big," deal with it. Get it out in the light because it will be dragged into the light whether you like it or not. "Well, even if nobody finds out, Brother Lodge, how can that affect me?" Well, let me put it to you this way. Have you ever tried to pray? I mean, really pray for something you needed all of a sudden, and then everything that you know you have not been doing right or the things that are wrong in your life, they start to creep up and say, "Look, God's not going to answer that because you know what you've been doing." Anybody ever prayed that prayer? Well, how do I avoid that, Brother Lot? Well, that's simple. Get it out in the light. I could look at you and say, guys, I don't have any problems at all. I just hope one day y'all grow to be spiritual like me. Or I can tell you that, guys, I've come a long way in this journey. But I still can't play around on computers. That's like an alcoholic hanging out in a bar. That ain't good. Not for the way I live. Too much junk to get involved in. Well, if you was more spiritual, no, I'm spiritual enough to know what I can do and what I can't do. Yeah. My kids and wife and them, they love to go to water parks. They love to do that kind of stuff. I don't do good at water parks. Watching 150 naked women running around sliding down slides is not exactly where I need to be. Now, you can call me dumb, but I know the truth. Tim, do you know the truth? I know the truth. Then it will set you free. And I tell my wife, y'all go have fun, have all this. But you know what? I don't need to be sitting in a lounge chair and sitting up there with all them people passing by me for 5 hours. I got to deal with that the next 2 weeks. Don't think about it. I'm trying to pray. And I'm like, oh, Lord, don't even go there. Now, you can say, Pastor, you're just not very spiritual. No, I'm very spiritual. I know what I can do. I know what I can do. I know how to fight this fight and how to win this fight. I know what I can play with. I know what I can't play with. That's a man who is a warrior. If I was to take a soldier and say, look, man, for the next 6 months, you can just lay around and eat cheeseburgers all day. But now after 6 months, we're going to throw you in the fight. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to say, look, I don't need those cheeseburgers. I need to run so many miles every day. Because if I eat those cheeseburgers every day and lay around, yeah, I can enjoy these next 6 months. But when you throw me in that fight, I'm fixing to get shot. And it works the same way in our lives. We have to be able to realize we are in a war. And the war is not losing. It's not that we're going to get beat. But it is the fact that we have to, in our minds, we have to determine what things are truth and not truth. We have to realize that it's going to come out in the light. And it's better to bring it out in the light and say, here's where I need prayer. Here's where I need to help fighting with me. Here's where I need help. I don't know what your battle is. It's probably totally different than my battles or any battles that I have. But I can guarantee you this, every one of us in here have places we have to make sure don't get overrun. Some of us get discouraged real easy. Some of us get in depression real easy. Some of us think of quitting real easy. See, I don't ever think of quitting. That never comes across my mind. Somehow, I just can't comprehend that. Somebody not come to church and quit. I'm like, look at Elise. And I'm like, what are they thinking? How do you quit? I don't even understand. But yet there's people sitting home this morning, quit. It's their weakness. It's where the enemy says, quit. To them, that sounds like a viable option. Let me move on. I don't want to get into all this stuff. Not anything here that will not be known and to come to light. Therefore, knowing this fact, take heed how you... Are you supposed to watch what you hear or how you hear? How? In Mark, it's what you hear. But now here it describes how I hear. Well, Brother Lot, how am I to hear? Well, here's the way I was taught growing up from a young kid. Number one, with reverence. If we were sitting in the room, and there was a bunch of older people in the room, and we were all in there just talking, do you know the one person that didn't talk? I have very little information to offer to mature, older people. I understood that very early. You just get that look when you start to say something like, you know, like, dummy, be quiet. We'll talk later. You can spout out later. Right now, you're going to learn by listening. We were to have reverence for what we hear. Well, now, if this is the truth, I'm talking about the truth, then why in the world do you have any other notes passing by other than what I'm saying right now? If this is the truth, then why are you more concerned about talking with the person beside you than you are to listening to what is going on right now? Why can't I keep my brain functioning just long enough, focused long enough to hear what is being said instead of have it on, man, I got to get this done. I got two or three things I got to get done. I hope he hurries up and gets there. If what you're hearing is the truth right now, then what else in the world is more important than right now? See, I was taught you listen with reverence. Now, reverence doesn't mean a baby don't cry every now and then. Reverence don't mean we don't cough. You can even clap your hands and say hallelujah every now and then. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is where my brain is engaged and I'm listening to what is being said and I'm applying it, because reverence is the first step. The second step, when I talk about being able to how I'm to hear, then I must also give my attention to it. I must give reverence, then I must give attention, but then something else takes place. I must then exercise faith in it. I must exercise faith in it. How many of you in this room right now, in this sermon so far, I've said something that you know, he's telling, there's some things I need to, you know. Raise your hand. Just raise it up high. God said something. See? Didn't take long. It doesn't take long. Just me saying it to myself. I listen to it and I'm like, woohoo! It's working on me. Because anytime truth is being spoken and it enters the room, it all affects everybody. That's what truth does. And if I give it reverence and if I give it attention, the very next step in my life becomes simple. I then am asked to exercise faith into it. That means that if I dismiss the service right now, I don't care if you felt like it, I don't care if you like it or don't like it. There are things that already have been revealed to you that I know are truth that compared to your non-truth must be changed. So now I must leave this room and I must change my life to align it with truth. Because if I do not, what kind of crop am I going to grow? It's not a question of if it will grow. It will come up. It's not a matter of whether somebody's going to find out. Everything will be. God is getting ahead of the problem and saying, listen, let's deal with it now. Because if we don't, it's going to be a bad day when they print it in the paper. It's going to be bad when your friends finally find out about it. It's going to be bad when they finally tell everybody and you're not the one that gets to tell the story. Get out front of it. Align yourself with truth. But brother, like, you don't know how hard that is. You know, I do. But I also have been in it long enough to also know that when the crop comes up, you really could care less of how hard it used to be. Number four. There must be a self-application of it. And let's look at it this way. Verse 19. Remember now, this different stories. Jesus and Mark told the story of the what? The farmer and the... In Luke, when he says, how I am to receive truth, I am to receive it with reverence, I am to receive it with an understanding that I'm going to listen, I must receive it by faith, that I'm going to apply it, and I must apply that to my life so that it will create something in my life. Notice now, every time in the Bible something is spoken by Jesus, it always is said at a time to where somebody's fixing to get healed using that, or something's fixing to happen using that. Listen to what happens in verse 19 through 21. Then came to him his what? His mother and his brethren, and could not come to him for the press. And it was told him by certain. Look at the person beside you and say, by certain. I like that one. I always like the ones they never name who it is. It's always those people that know what you need to be doing. Thy mother and thy brother stand outside desiring to see you. Verse 21, and he answered and said unto him, my mother and my are them that what? He said, let mama pull up a chair. If my brothers want to learn something, let them come sit down. I'm not quitting what I'm doing to go out there and hug their necks and entertain them. This is not mama's show. This is not about family. We're way past family. If you want to know who's in my family, it's everybody sitting here. Jesus, on other occasions when His mother would come, would say, "This is my mother and these are my brothers." Now see, listen to me, it's difficult any time I hear truth, and now I have to apply it because it's how I hear truth. It's not just what I hear, it's how I hear it. If I hear it with the understanding that I have to apply it, if I hear it with the understanding that I have to change my life, if I hear it with the understanding it must affect me, then understand the enemy will always come back later and try to rob the seed that's fell on the ground. If I tell you, listen ladies, you're going to have to go home and be submissive to your husbands. You're going to have to go home and love them, but they're not lovable. I don't care. You married them. You picked them. Tough luck. You got to go home now and you got to be submissive and love them and give to them and be honoring to them. And if you can't do it, just practice saying Lord to them long enough that it finally sinks into your thick head.
I don't like that.
I don't care. It's the truth. It's what the Bible says. If it makes you feel any better, husbands, you ain't supposed to go home and sit down and while your wife washes dishes, cleans the house, takes care of the kids, and you sit back like some toad frog on a hill. You can change your shirt, whatever you got to do, roll up your sleeve and say, "Listen, I'll handle the dishes and you handle Junior." Why? Because I'm to give my life to my wife. I tell people all the time, if I ain't dying, I'm not doing a good job. That's my job. To give my life so that my kids, my wife, can excel in what they're doing. If my wife is not excelling and confident and doing the best, then I'm failing at what I'm supposed to be doing. If my kids are not, my dad used to say it well a long time ago. I was picking with them yesterday and we were coming in and I was showing them my shirt. I said, "I'm still wearing the same shirt I wore 15 years ago." And we just had to get Lee some stuff and tailor some stuff. And I told him, I said, "Look, guys, that's what I enjoy. When I was 15, 14, 12 years old, my dad used to tell it to me thousands of times. He said, Tim," and I'd feel bad because my dad would have to buy something for me, or dad would have to give me 20 bucks to take some little girl to McDonald's or something. I'd feel so bad, and I'd say, "Dad, I don't want to take your money." "Son, you take this money. You take this money." And it's what he would always say. He said, "Tim, don't worry about it, because this is your time. Don't worry, son, there will come a time when everybody else will be getting stuff. And your job is to make sure they have it. You'll go to work one day and you'll be the supplier and the provider for those that need you." There are seasons and moments in your life. There are moments and places that you have to go. It's what I hear in my life and how I hear it in my life. It is whether I'm willing to apply it to my life. So guys, when we go home today, we got jobs. Ladies, when we go home today, we got jobs. Young people, you got jobs too. Shut your mouth and do what they tell you to do. That's your job. You honor your mother and father. If they're putting clothes on your back, feeding you, if they tell you to take out garbage, you say, "How many bags? What else can I do, Mom? What else can I do, Dad?" You don't stick out your lip while you've been sitting there watching TV all day and they ask you to do one thing and they've been ironing your clothes and doing everything. No, no, no. You honor your mom and dad. Because truth is all about respect. Truth is all about listening. Truth is all about applying. Truth is all about doing. And what happens is, if you learn it at a young age, it gets easier when you're 40 and 50 and 60 years old to have your Heavenly Father say, "You need to change." "Yes, sir. Whatever you need me to do, Father, I'll do it." But if I've been rebellious all my life, if I want to do it my way all my life, if I don't listen to people all my life, it gets awful hard to listen to somebody I cannot see. I get so tired of this one question. How do I know if it's God or not? Well, that's simple. If it's something that makes you better, if it's something that brings Him honor, if it's something that you wouldn't do on your own, that's a good thing, then I guarantee you it's God. It's God. When you're standing there saying, I ought to go apologize, I don't want to, then that's probably God. That's probably God. I'll sum it up this way, and I'm through. I called right before I came down this morning, called Mary. I always love to call Mary and John and Jimmy Jones. Their little girl, Jamar, I want to update everybody. It's in ICU. She's still there. I was there, me and Brother Rouse was in the room, and I was outside when the doctor came in the first time. And basically he just said this. He just basically came in and said, there's no hope. And he just walks out. That's not what you want to hear when you have an unconscious daughter laying in ICU to be told that she has inoperable brain damage or whatever else, and all the MRIs are coming back. There ain't no hope. But I want to tell you what learning and listening is. Mary and Jimmy have sat there for years. First thing Mary says is, I don't hear nothing negative. I love that. I don't want to hear nothing negative. Me and Brother Rouse were standing there as the chaplain came in, and I love chaplains. They have a wonderful job. There's people that don't have churches, but he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. He was well out of his anointing because he had just heard what the doctors had said, and instinctively he's supposed to come in and encourage the family, you know, before the baby dies. He walks in and he starts his spiel, and Mary cut him off quick. She said, you don't understand. We're not losing this child. And we don't hear nothing in this room that says anything otherwise. I want to tell you something. What she was holding to was truth. She was not willing, even though all the other noise is going on, even though all the other opinions are going on, even though everybody's telling her, even people that are supposed to be able to tell her. And don't get me wrong, man can do to a certain degree, but they're fallible. They can only tell you what they can see. They can only tell you what they know. I love doctors. They heal and do surgeries, and they've done two or three on my wife over the years, and I'm thankful for every one of them and all of the things that they can do. It's miraculous. But listen to me. When they look at me and say, there's no hope, listen to me. The Bible says as long as there's life, there's hope. You're stepping outside your boundaries. When they look at me and say, I don't see how it can happen, the Bible says that all things are possible through God, and it is possible to whosoever will believe, will ask it without doubting, without letting go. And all of a sudden, Mary and Jimmy, they sat there, and I said, here's what we're going to do. We went downstairs to the bookstore, and they were sitting there, and I went and got them a Precious Promises book out of the bookstore, and I carried it over, and I said, you find every scripture that God jumps off the pages in this. I said, you underline it, you write it, you do whatever you got to do, and you keep speaking it over her, and you don't quit speaking it over her. Can I tell you, the very next day, then all of a sudden that same surgeon came in, that same guy, that doctor that knows everything, he came in with a neurologist, and he says, you know what, I need to apologize to you because it doesn't look like it's as bad as we thought it was. Can I tell you, her and Jimmy are still there. I called this morning. First thing I said, give me some good news. She said, Pastor, last night, she said her name. For somebody that wasn't supposed to come to, she's still in and out. They've taken her totally off the respirator. She said she's totally breathing on her own now. They said they still has some of the tubes, the feeding tubes and things, and they asked her last name. She couldn't say it, but when they said, is your name Jones, last name, she nodded her head, yes. Can I tell you something? There is truth, and then there is the truth. and my job is to hold on to the truth. I hear a lot of voices, I hear a lot of opinions, but if it falls against that rock, it either is going to align with it or it's going to break on it. There comes points in our lives where we are in this room and we have to walk out of this room, every one of us, and we're going to deal with problems and decisions and situations. But can I tell you something? That even if I'm not there and nobody else is there and nobody's there to encourage you, you have one thing that you have going for you, and that is God's written, unbreakable, totally holy truth. And if you will align yourself with it, it's like planting seed that must grow. It's like making straight the things that want to get out of line in our lives. And I don't know who you are in this room today. I don't know what discouragements. I don't know what things have gone on in your life the enemy beats at you with. Some parent this morning says, you know what, my kids, I don't know if they're ever going to. Can I tell you something? Get you some truth in your life. The Bible says, if I raise my children in the way they should go, they shall not depart. It don't mean they ain't going to have some bumps in the road, but if all they know is truth, if all they know is prayer, if all they know is God, then they can be like me in Birmingham, Alabama, fighting with God with all they got. But all they know to come back to is a God that cannot fail. It's all they know. All they know is truth. I don't care what your problem. I don't care what doctor has said something over you. I don't care. No, people said, well, Pastor, you should. No, I don't care. Because it's either the truth or that's the truth. And I decided a long time ago in my life that is the truth. That is the whole truth. That is nothing but the truth. And today it's not about how excited you can be. It's not about how emotional, even though I love it, because I get emotional. But it's whether or not I can believe with all of my heart that that is truth. And I am willing to lay down my life for truth above everything else. That's why for 17 years I've been here. That's why over all these years there's been no scandals, no this, no that, no. In fact, I had one person come to Elise this week, and it's one of the greatest honors to get these all the time. And one of their family members had just been diagnosed with something. And Elise was talking to them, and they drove by. And this is what the person said to him. I hear that your husband is one of the most powerful prayer warriors anywhere. Would you tell him to pray for this person? I want to tell you something, that's an honor. It's not that they're into the disease. It isn't that there isn't a problem. I don't deny the problem. I just deny that it's stronger than my God. I just deny that it has the final say in my life. For nothing is impossible for them who believe. Will you stand?